We have this poetic imagery of these shepherds being trees and fire coming against them, the Lord sending fire. And then in verses 4 to 14, we have what we might call a prophetic play that the Lord commands Zechariah to act out. And the play will explain the imagery in verses 1 to 3. And so let's hear the word of God. Zechariah chapter 11, reading through verse 14. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, for the glorious trees are ruined. Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has been felled. The sound of the wail of the shepherds, for their glory is ruined. The sound of the roar of the lions, for the thicket of the Jordan is ruined. Thus said the Lord my God, become shepherd of the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished, and those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I have become rich, and their own shepherds have no pity on them. For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of this land, declares the Lord. Behold, I will cause each of them to fall into the hand of his neighbor, and each into the hand of his king, and they shall crush the land, and I will deliver none from their hand. So I became the shepherd of the flock, doomed to be slaughtered by the sheep traders, and I took two staffs. One I named Favor, the other I named Union, and I tended the sheep. In 1 month I destroyed the three shepherds, but I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. So I said, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. And I took my staff, Favor, and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I had made with all the peoples. So it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. Then I broke my second staff, Union, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Amen. Let's pray briefly. Lord, we seek now your Spirit's powerful blessing upon the preaching and hearing of your word. Lord, we need your Spirit to open our ears and our hearts. We need your Spirit to cause us to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to us today. Lord, show us Christ, show us his glory, show us his great worth. May he have the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. How would you answer if you were asked, what is Christ worth to you this morning? What is your evaluation of Jesus Christ? I think it would be a tough question to answer. And maybe to put it in a more pointed way, how does your life answer that question? What are your priorities, your attitudes? What do those say about your valuation of the Son of God? How do your responses to hardship and trials speak to your valuation of Jesus? How does our grumbling or our gratitude answer that question? You see, that is the question that is put before us in our text this morning. Zechariah was a prophet sent by God to preach to Israel after they had returned from the Babylonian captivity. And people return from Babylon, and we can sense their excitement and their enthusiasm. They returned from their home. They rebuilt the city wall. They rebuilt their homes. And yet the temple still laid in ruins. And that serves as an emblem of their spiritual condition. They were comfortable. They had security with those walls. They had nice homes. But the temple laying in ruin showed where they were spiritually. There was a spiritual complacency that set in. There was a greed that set in among the leaders. And the Lord sent Zechariah to preach the gospel and to call the people to repentance. The Lord had richly blessed these people. He had freed them again from slavery. And yet they had forgotten the Lord. And they fell into this attitude of self-righteousness, of complacency, of self-reliance. And Zechariah told the people that God's anger had been aroused because of their sin, but he also preached assurance of forgiveness if they repented and turned back to the Lord. Zechariah, like all true prophets in the Old Testament, wasn't valued. And in verse 12 of our text, we read something very startling. We read that God's chosen shepherd, his prophet, who faithfully declared the word of God to the people, was valued at 30 pieces of silver. As we read, the price of a slave gored by an ox. And this is intended to take our minds to the life and the ministry and the response of the world to Jesus Christ. Zechariah's being priced at 30 pieces of silver was clearly prophetic of how Christ would be treated. And there is a tragedy. It should strike us that this is telling us that the eternal Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is of infinite worth, was valued at the price of the wounded slave. You see, those 30 pieces of silver in many ways represent the world's hatred of Jesus Christ. They also press the question upon us, what is Christ worth to us? What is God's shepherd worth to us? How do you value him today? Now we need to first think about this prophetic play about God's shepherd. Now, this may seem odd to us, but we see it in the prophets. Jeremiah was commanded to do something like this by the Lord, to act out a play. And in that, there was a prophecy, there was a message. We see the Lord with Hosea. His life very much became a living play to communicate a message. And the remarkable thing is, you know, human beings will produce plays or movies on actual events long after they happen. But our sovereign God produces plays before the actual events happen. And that's what this is. It's a play about the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. Now, again, I think we need to just take a moment to think about what the context of this was. Again, the Lord had delivered these people in another Exodus-like event. They returned home from slavery in Babylon, and they rebuilt those walls. They rebuilt their homes, but the temple laid in ruins. And Zechariah was sent to preach the gospel, to confront the leaders who had forgotten the Lord. And very often, the name of the prophet will tell us much about what the issue was. Zechariah means the Lord remembers. Here were people who had forgotten the Lord, who had forgotten all that He had done for them, and Zechariah was preaching, the Lord remembers you, will you remember Him? Now there is a message in this here that, as I was preparing this, I think this is a whole sermon for another time, but I think it's important to bring up, and that is, we see here how prosperity prophets produced greedy shepherds. And what we need to note here is that the shepherds in this section of Zechariah, they're not prophets, but they are what we would call political leaders, city officials, king-like figures. And yet there was a connection to the false prosperity prophets that we often see rebuked. We know that we have our prosperity preachers today, and it's nothing new. There was always prosperity prophets in Israel who spread a false message. In Jeremiah 23, for example, the Lord warns about these false prophets, and He says, they continually say to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, no disaster shall come upon you. But what we need to notice here is that as people and as leaders began to believe this prosperity message, that prosperity theology infected the political leadership. And it led to these greedy shepherds that we read about, these greedy city officials. And we, in the text, you can see they oppressed the people. And it's interesting, in verse 5, really, you see that there's this relationship between these greedy political leaders and the greedy Israelite businessmen. There's this buying and selling of Israelites. As slaves, they were oppressing the people. And it's not hard for us to see, as we are experiencing something similar in our land, to see that the church's theology has affected the rulers in our country. As much of the church has forsaken the true gospel and have preached in different forms a prosperity message, in many ways what we see in the leadership of our land, leaders who are greedy, who care nothing about the well-being of the citizens, who are concerned only with their own wealth and their own gain, we see this connection. And that means some blame lies at the feet of the church. But again, a sermon for another time. But that's the context here. Israelite leaders, Israelite businessmen, literally buying and selling their brothers and sisters for gain. And these leaders saying, "Blessed be the Lord, for I have become rich." And what we have here in the rest of the section is this prophetic play that finds its ultimate fulfillment in Christ. We read how Zechariah, after calling the people to repentance, encouraging them to remember the Lord, he announces this formal end to his relationship with the people. He breaks that staff called favor, representing God's favor and his peace, his covenantal blessings. And that finds its fulfillment in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't have an actual staff that he broke. We see the fulfillment of it in Matthew 23 when he grieved and he wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Your house is now left to you desolate." It was Jesus breaking, so to speak, his staff called faith. He had preached the gospel, the light had shone, but his own people rejected it. And he was saying, "The time of God's favor and grace is coming to an end for you." If you look on the inside of your bulletin, Matthew Henry has a good summary of this prophetic play. And he writes, "The prophet here has made a type of Christ. Christ would have healed them, but they would not be healed, and they are therefore left desolate and abandoned to ruin. In Zechariah's time, we find the rulers and the nobles justly rebuked for exacting usury on their brethren, and the governors, even by their servants, oppressive to the people. In Christ's time, the chief priests and elders, who were the possessors of their flock, by their traditions, the commandments of men, and their impositions on the consciences of the people, became perfect tyrants, devoured their houses, engrossed their wealth, and fleeced the flock instead of feeding it." And so the meaning of the play is clear. Zechariah is playing the part of Jesus in this play, in a non-sacrilegious kind of way, because this was a play commanded by God. And it's worth noting that, and multiple commentators note this, that Zechariah was likely not dressed like a shepherd as we think of an ancient Near Eastern shepherd, but he was likely dressed like a kingly official. A kingly shepherd. And if he's playing the part of Jesus, that is fitting. Our shepherd is a shepherd king. This was all about Christ's life and ministry. Zechariah had been despised and rejected, and there came a time when he said, "I am done being your shepherd. God's time of favor is over for you." And in verse 12, he issues this challenge. He said to the people, "If it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them." He basically says, "Pay me what you think I'm worth, or don't pay me anything. Evaluate me. What has my ministry among you been worth? What has my teaching been worth to you? What is God's word worth to you?" the text tells us they weighed out as his wages 30 pieces of silver. Now that was a derogatory insult. It was an expression of disdain and rejection and mockery. In fact, it would have been better if they paid him nothing. They knew Exodus 21. They knew that was the price of a worthless, wounded slave. That's what they thought of God's servant. They were saying to him, "You are worthless, your ministry is worthless," and they were mocking him. And in verse 13, God instructs Zechariah to take that silver and throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. And when we turn to the New Testament, we see so clearly that this play was about Jesus Christ. His rejection, his mockery, the disdain that the people had for this shepherd was prophetic of how the world would value Christ. And I think that as we read the Gospels and what happened, we should have this play in our ears serving as a kind of narration, narrating those events for us that took place. And so let's secondly think then about the worth of God's Son. Again, this prophetic play was clearly about how God's true shepherd king would be treated. And just like in Zechariah's day, Israel had experienced firsthand the love and the grace of God through a shepherd, not just a mere human shepherd, but Jesus Christ, the true shepherd. And Judas, in a very special way, experienced the grace and the favor of Christ. Scholars note the deliberate title given for Judas in the Gospels. He was one of the 12. One of the 12. That's Judas' title. And it's a statement almost of tragedy and amazement that he was one of the 12. He knew the grace and love of Jesus Christ up close. He heard Jesus teaching in a more intimate way than anyone else. And yet he valued the Son of God at 30 pieces of silver. And in Matthew 26, Matthew records the transaction for us. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. Now that was part of the fulfillment of that prophetic play. And again, I think we should hear the voice of Christ through this prophetic play narrating, giving commentary on those events, and saying to us, "What am I worth to you? How do you evaluate me? What is the worth of my ministry, my word, my life, and my death? What is God's shepherd worth to us?" Klaus Schilder, a Dutch theologian, insightfully comments on this transaction between Judas and the leaders, and he says, "Yet with spiritual vision, we can detect the presence of another person and hear him say, 'Give me my price. What am I worth to you? How do you evaluate me?' It is the voice of Christ. And look, they carefully count out 30 pieces of silver. Judas and the most devout religious men of the day sold the Son of God for the price of a worthless, wounded slave. And we read that passage from Matthew, and we saw how Judas would come to regret his decision, and he would go back when he felt remorse, and the chief priest and elders essentially said, "That's your problem." And we read in Matthew 27:5, "And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself." And in that, friends, we see the bitter fruit, the bitter end of rejecting Jesus Christ. Judas' betrayal was foretold in the Old Testament. It's recorded in the Gospel to encourage us to consider the depth of sin and the bitter fruit that it produces. Sin undervalues the Son of God. Sin cries out to us every day, "I am worth more than Jesus. Follow me." And you'll notice that both in Zechariah and Matthew, those 30 pieces of silver are first taken to the temple and then end up in the hands of a potter. I think there's a warning in that. Because in Christ's day, that potter's field was near the entrance to the city garbage dump, the place that was called Gehenna, the place of burning. And when Jesus talks about hell in the Gospels, he uses the word Gehenna. The potter's field was near the entrance to Gehenna, the place of burning. Friends, the warning to us is that failing to see the great worth of the Son of God and our need for Him is the path to Gehenna. It's the path to hell. See, this question of how we value the Son of God can be a question of eternal destiny. We need to then consider the worth of God's grace. The worth of His grace. Zechariah preached, while he confronted the people, was a message of grace. The prophets never preached a message of self-righteousness, self-improvement. Zechariah's message to these people wasn't, "Turn over a new leaf or God's going to destroy you." The message was, "Turn back to the Lord and trust Him and remember Him or He's going to destroy you." It was a message of grace, and we don't have to read very much further in Zechariah to see. You can probably see it on your Bible as it's open. Chapter 12, from verse 10 to 13:1, is about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And the blessing and the promise and the forgiveness that that will bring. But the people rejected that message of grace. And again, as I already pointed out, Zechariah's time was a time very similar to ours. The people were comfortable They had returned from the Babylonian captivity. They had nice homes. They had a secure wall. And they thought, we're doing fine. We're fine. Get out of here with this negative message. They gave Zechariah his price and basically said, leave us alone. We are fine. It's a message to us in our time of comfort and prosperity, how easy it is for us to think that we don't need Christ. And again, Klaus Schildur wrote, 30 pieces of silver were the tangible embodiment of the spirit of self-redemption. Grace allows no glory in self. Redemption is from God alone. They were self-reliant people who felt like they did not need to hear or to trust in this Messiah. And friends, again, we see the same response in Christ's time when Christ Himself, the one who is the embodiment of grace and truth, came and He preached the gospel. But we see the reactions to Christ, and we don't see much different today. Our leaders have rejected Christ and His gospel. Many in our country mock Jesus Christ. His infinite worth is met with a mocking price of 30 pieces of silver. People still refuse the grace of Christ and turn to the idea of self-redemption. Now your question might be, what does this have to do with me? I would never sell Jesus out. But friends, we would be naive to think that even as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are not guilty of undervaluing our Shepherd King. Even we can subtly and quietly and gradually begin to rely on ourselves and think, I'm doing fine. And so this text again puts that piercing question before us. What is the divine pierced shepherd worth to us? What is His grace worth to us? What is His cross worth to us? Is it not true that when we sin, that we are undervaluing the Son of God? We're undervaluing His grace. We look at Jesus, and then we look at sin, and we choose sin. And the conclusion we come to is that sin is more valuable than Jesus. And when we get spiritually complacent, when we come to rely on ourselves and think, I'm doing fine, are we not overvaluing ourselves and undervaluing the Shepherd? Or maybe you're here today and you've never truly embraced Jesus Christ. You've had some connection with the church, but you have never really come to see the worth of Jesus and embrace Him. And friends, what we can't just gloss over here is that both in Zechariah's day and Jesus' day, it was religious people who rejected Him. It was people who had a connection with the church. It was religious people who sold Him for 30 pieces of silver. So friends, I implore you today, if you have not embraced Christ, if you're putting off embracing Him, if you're finding comfort only and having some external connection to the church, if you're thinking, I'll live how I want for a while and down the road somewhere, I'll embrace Jesus. The dire warning for you today is that there comes a time when God says, my time of favor, my time of grace is over for you. There comes a time when Christ will break that staff of His favor. And the day of His grace will be gone forever for you. If you have not embraced this Savior of infinite worth today, today is the day. Let go of your self-reliance. Let go of your self-righteousness and your pride. Let go of your attempts at self-redemption. And embrace Jesus Christ. Look to His cross. See the great worth of the One who came and obeyed perfectly on behalf of His people, who came and gave His life to pay for the sin and the guilt and rebellion of His people. Be driven out of yourself today to Jesus Christ. And friends, all of us sit here today as people who are guilty of undervaluing the Son of God. And that means when we put this question to ourselves, what is Christ worth to me? The answer has to be, not as much as He should be. Now that should convict us and that should grieve us. But there's also comfort for us. Because this same good shepherd who we undervalue is the same shepherd king who forgives us of our sin of undervaluing. He's a shepherd king who sanctifies sinners. He's a shepherd king who knows our tendency to undervalue. And that's why we're here today. That's why He gives us the means of grace so that we can be reminded week by week of His great worth. As the Word is preached, what is the goal? To show us the worth of Christ. As we sing the Psalms, we're being taught about the worth of Christ. As we pray, we can extol His great worth, but we can also pray, Lord, show me Your great worth. The Lord's Supper is a visual sign and seal of Christ crucified, showing us His worth. Now there is an irony in Christ being valued at 30 pieces of silver. On the one hand, it's tragic and there's an ugliness to it, but on the other hand, there's a marvelous beauty in it. Remember that the 30 pieces of silver was the price of a wounded servant. A servant pierced, gored by an ox. And we see the beauty in that is that Christ became a suffering servant for us. One who was pierced for our sins. As Isaiah said, He was pierced for our transgressions. crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. Friends, it is at the cross where we behold the great worth of our Savior who was pierced, our Shepherd King. And I want to exhort you as we prepare to come to the Lord's table next week to meditate on this question. What is Christ worth to me? How does my life answer that question? My attitudes. And as you meditate upon that, look to Christ and make it your prayer this week. Lord, show me Your great worth. That we might come together again next week and come to His table and by His Spirit behold the great work of our Shepherd King who was pierced for our sins. Lord, we acknowledge that Jesus, Your Son, is altogether lovely. He is the one of infinite worth. And Lord, we know that we say in our hearts we would trade Him for nothing. And yet we know that the way that we live so often betrays that profession. We confess our great sin of undervaluing the Good Shepherd. But Lord, we thank You for Your grace and Your patience with us, that You forgive and restore us. That You are constantly, by Your Spirit, through Your Word, through the means You have given to us, showing us the great worth of our Shepherd King. Lord, show us Your glory. Show us Your worth. We pray for Jesus' sake.